Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation here this morning is recorded in the sixth chapter of St. Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians, beginning with the 10th verse. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Society becomes increasingly enamored with dystopian and post-apocalyptic movies. We become decreasingly unaware of the simple fact that we have been living in one ever since the fall into sin. For on that fateful day, sin, death, and the devil stormed this world and placed it under the most totalitarian regime that this world has ever seen. For this reason, God the Father sent his own Son into our world, not only to spearhead a resistance, but more than that, to liberate us from the tyranny of death. For it's only when we understand this reality and recognize our capitulation to the forces of evil in this world that we begin to understand the very striking words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. In our text for today, we see a field marshal in St. Paul who has been captured and is awaiting trial in Rome. Pulling out all the rhetorical stops, he provides us with one of the most powerful calls to arms that the church militant has ever seen. In the dramatic conclusion to the book of Ephesians, he calls us not only to keep being strong in the Lord, but to put on the full armor of God. With this in mind, first we shall see that we don't wrestle against mere or only flesh and blood. St. John explains in his Revelation. Now war rose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. These events occurred sometime after the creation, but before the fall into sin. This rebellion was led by Lucifer, a fallen angel, who came to be known as the devil or Satan. Now this devil is no god, but rather he is an extremely powerful being whose hold over us can only be broken by the God-man, Christ Jesus. And even though the devil and his demons were mortally wounded by the Holy Cross, they still pose an existential threat to our very being on this world. To be sure, they no longer can have control over us, much less mount a siege of heaven. And yet they still function with craft and trickery and with false propaganda in order to drag each one of us down with them to hell. This is why Peter warns the believers, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. With this in mind, we need divine strength and we need divine armor, for we cannot resist the devil's schemes with weapons of our own making. But how would we acquire such weapons? The answer is in Christ's body, the church, where we were equipped with such weaponry in holy baptism. St. Paul explains, "For as many of you who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And yet these implements of war will do us no good if we do not learn how to use them and master them." After all, doesn't the devil often disguise himself as an angel of light in order to dupe us from departing from sound doctrine and Christian living? In point of fact, Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And yet how often don't we Christians claim, "I do not have to know the Bible in order to have a personal relationship with Jesus"? And what about those doctrinal truths? Hasn't the devil often duped us into thinking they're just nothing more than intellectual exercises, mumbo jumbo for the theologians to muse about, rather than the saving truths that set us free, as our Lord himself declares in his words to the church? If the devil's schemes are not limited to doctrinal errors, the writer to the Hebrews states, "But if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a powerful expectation of judgment." Yet how often don't we waltz into the church thinking we are forgiven, even though we are unrepentant of the hatred we have for our coworkers, or of the jealousy that we have for the star in our extracurricular activities? What about our refusal to repent of our sexual relations outside the bonds of marriage, let alone our coveting and our theft after the possessions and relationships of others that we don't think they deserve? And is there any one of us here today who has not attempted to destroy the reputation of another and felt absolutely no need to repent of that sin? In fact, we felt we were justified in doing it. Indeed, the devil doesn't have to appear before us with pitchfork and pointy horns. He's done a pretty good job appearing as an angel of light and wreaking havoc within the church of this age. Now we shall see, brothers and sisters in arms, how we will withstand the wiles of the devil. Since no one can survive as an army of one, much less with weapons of his own making, Christ has equipped us with weapons. He's done this by incorporating us into his body, the church. There we were equipped with armor. And more than that, we were taught to fight together in formation against the schemes of the old devil. And yet Christ, our general, teaches us only to defend our salvation. Because the simple fact is, we could not procure it. For there is no other general on this earth who could destroy the power of sin, death, and the power of the devil than he who was born from all eternity. For this reason, the God-man Christ Jesus broke into human history in order to accomplish the greatest covert operation in the history of mankind. By taking on our flesh, the forces of evil were thereby duped, thinking they could take this humble Galilean Messiah. And yet the old evil foe was greatly mistaken. For upon the holy cross, our Lord crushed the power of the old evil foe underfoot, freeing us forever from the bondage of Satan. And more than that, he rose again triumphant on the third day, showing that not even death itself could have mastery over him and his body, the church. Yet unlike any other rally call in the life of this world, St. Paul does not call us to win a battle today, much less win the war. No, he calls us in a purely defensive posture. He calls us to make the armor of God our very own, so that in the final consummation of Christ's victory on the last day, we may not fall into the attacks of the devil. Brothers and sisters, this is profound comfort. For no other army has ever had to face the difficulties of war, knowing that they were going to win. We know that this victory is determined and we will win because Jesus Christ has already accomplished the war. This is why we can go into battle confident, because we know that those of us who have pulled on the full armor of God cannot be snatched away from our Lord Jesus Christ. For St. John declares, "For everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Yet how do we make that armor our own? On the basis of Psalm 119, Martin Luther laid forth a threefold strategy by which we can internalize God's holy word. This path consists of three parts: prayer, meditation, and the cross. First, the believer regularly prays that God increasingly reveals the meaning of the sacred scriptures to us. Next, the believer daily meditates upon the sacred scriptures, reflecting on all aspects of their historical and grammatical meaning in light of the distinction between law and gospel. And finally, the believer internalizes that same text by experiencing its application in our own lives and the lives of those around us. This is what it means to put on the whole armor of God. This is also why we watch over one another in the church, so that we never leave a man behind. Let us then finally close with the words of St. Paul. "The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Amen." Congregation, may rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. And let us pray. O Lord, keep your household, the church, in continual godliness, that through your protection she may be free from all adversities and devoutly given to serve you in good works, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. May be seated for the hymn.